everybody. Welcome to another episode of What's Brewing here on the Hockey Podcast Network. I am your host, Chris Nozick, joined by the great Dom Tiano. Dom, it seems like it's been forever. Lots of Bruin stuff to go over, but before we get into that, how you doing?
Doing great. No complaints. Got the golf cap cleaned, getting ready for golf. Polished up the clubs today, so now we're just waiting for the nice weather.
Awesome. Always good to hear. It's a little wet around here. I know you said it's wet up there too. So putting another damper on things, our Boston Bruins. Not able to hold leads late in games. It seems every game hammer the overtime bet because that's where they're all headed right now. I will say last night's loss felt a little bit different than some of the other ones. How worried are you? Let's start with that.
Not so much. If we go back to the start of the season, remember I said there's a couple of things this team needs to fix. Face-offs and defense.
Yeah, we've been talking about face-offs all year long, it seems.
Yeah, so I'm not concerned about three-on-three overtime and the shootout because some people tend to forget that that doesn't exist in the playoffs. Five-on-five, they dominated Toronto. They held their own against Edmonton. And if it had gone to overtime, it wouldn't have been 3-on-3. We wouldn't have had Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl and Evan Bouchard on for two of the three shifts that it took in overtime.
And they certainly wouldn't have had a shift against Trent Frederick and two defensemen.
Right.
Okay, so someone else is taking that faceoff, period.
Exactly. And the defense, man, it's like, you know, having Lindholm out takes away a horse. I know he's not having the type of season he had last year, but defensively, you're taking away a horse. And, you know, in that last minute and whatever seconds it was, it probably would have normally been Lindholm and McAvoy out there protecting that lead. And, you know, it goes beyond Lindholm. They need somebody else. That goal was created by Edmonton stopping in front of the net and nobody able to clear them out. Like, Draisaitl's not an easy guy to move. So, you know, your bottom pairing defenseman gotta be able to do that, and the Bruins don't have that.
Yeah, and to your point, Hampus Lindholm has gone very under the radar this year. A lot of people have wanted to bring negativity towards his game, and I want to shout out everyone who's watching and listening right now. We do want all your comments, so YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, wherever you're watching, X, whatever the hell it's called, definitely jump in the comments. We want to hear your thoughts, answer your questions as well. That's why we're doing this live. But yeah, back to Lindholm. People want to bring a lot of negativity towards his game, but I don't think everybody has realized just how Kevin jumping in. He says we don't want his comments.
Yeah. Okay, Kevin.
I assure you, Kevin, we do. But the minutes that Lindholm has been playing this season have been heavy minutes is the best way to put it. He's playing penalty kill. He's playing defensive zone faceoffs so much. And, you know, people want to complain the offense isn't there from where it was last year, but he's got Carlo this year. He's got McAvoy this year for the whole season. He doesn't have to produce the offense. Not that Carlo's all that offensive, but Grizzlick is. And Grizzlick was hurt last year a lot as well. For the beginning of the season, remember, we didn't have McAvoy, we didn't have Grizzlick. Lindholm was the guy in every offensive situation, and now he's not. He's one of the pillars that we have in every defensive situation. So the fact that he's been out, all of these problems can be started when he left the lineup.
Yep.
The timing is there. It correlates. There's something to it. So do they, I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, well, Hampus Lindholm is their, you know, trade deadline acquisition. It's a self rental. No,
no, no. They need somebody else. And I've been pushing all season long. Not all season, maybe a month and a half into the season, that this defense is not going to cut it. It needs an upgrade. And right. Whether that's on Forbert, whether that's on Grizzlick, whether that's on Waterspoon, whether that's on Shattenkirk, take your pick. But they need upgrades there.
I will say this, though. The loss of Lindholm directly correlates to all of these games going to overtime. Now, do half of them go to overtime if he's in the lineup? Maybe. But the point is he's not there and they can't hold on to things without him there. It's a very
right, but they couldn't before either, Chris. Trust me. You know, I'm 62 years old. I've been going to hockey games with my dad since I was four. So I've been going to hockey games for 58 years, and I'm telling you, this defense is not going to win them a Stanley Cup.
Oh, I agree with that.
You can talk about going to get another forward, whether a center or a winger, somebody who can score, but the losses are going to come because this defense can't get it done for a full 60 minutes. You can only rely on McAvoy and Lindholm playing 25 plus minutes a night for so long. And when you're playing every other night in the playoffs, that's going to take a toll.
Let's see. Kevin says, I was going to say this blowing the game in the third period has been happening before Lindholm went down. Lindholm going down just made it worse. Sure. Real quick, I do want to jump back. Pogba says, can the Bruins even put together a package for Elias Lindholm / is he worth it? For those who have not been following on the flurry of trades that have been going on today, up until last night, I think is when it really came out that the Vancouver Canucks are supposedly trying to get Jake Guentzel from Pittsburgh. And as part of that, they have reached out to Boston as a way to move on from Elias Lindholm to see if Boston's still interested and if they are willing to take Lindholm off their hands in some capacity. My understanding is Boston would be playing third team in this. They might even need a fourth team just to make everything work. First off, is Elias Lindholm worth trying to get involved in something with Vancouver, Pittsburgh, and maybe even somebody else?
Yeah, for me, I've always loved him as a player. The problem is Vancouver's not getting value for him now.
Well, that's Vancouver's problem, not our problem.
Yeah, so you could possibly get him cheap. I don't know how the salary is going to work and how the deal is going to work, how it's structured, but you have to think that Jake DeBrusk would be the guy that has to move dollar-wise to make the deal work.
That's what I've been hearing, and that's why I think a fourth team is supposedly has to get involved, because Boston would basically ship DeBrusk off to this fourth team. Lindholm comes to Boston, Guentzel goes to Vancouver, and something else from Vancouver goes to Pittsburgh. And basically it's, you know, what Vancouver does for Boston is they'll retain a little bit on Lindholm so they don't have to give up as much as far as cap-wise. It gets convoluted and clusterfuckery complicated. But, I mean, you bring in Elias Lindholm, and now you go, what, Lindholm, Coyle, and kick Zaka out to the wing?
I don't know. It depends on what's going.
I mean, if DeBrusk is the piece,
that's going. Yeah, I'm not acquiring Lindholm to play him on the wing.
No. I'm saying if DeBrusk is the piece that's going, the right side RW2 spot is essentially open, and so does that mean you basically kick JVR over to the right, move Zaka out to the left on one of the lines, and then you have, you know, let's say Marchand, Lindholm, Pasternak with it would end up being Zaka, Coyle, JVR.
I honestly, I don't know, Chris. Until you see the players together and see who can form some chemistry real quick, you're mixing and matching until you find out what works.
Yeah, I will say this. I do agree with Kevin's point here. Zaka is a better winger, so I'd kick him to the left side of Lindholm and Pasta. I've liked Zaka's game on the wing when he's played on the same line as Pasta on the right side. That's a 1-2 that's worked. I'm not complaining about what Zaka's giving you down the middle, though. I'm not complaining. I'm not kicking it aside or anything like that. To your point, you got to kind of see where it goes. Andrew brings up another name here. Nick Dowd in from Washington for faceoffs and center depth. And then he's asking if we're hearing if the Bruins are in on Chychrun or still in on Hanifin. And do we think they signed Jake DeBrusk?
Start with Dowd. For me, it doesn't move the needle. You can't bring a guy in just for faceoffs because what's he doing for you the rest of the time? It's just, you have to bring in a player that can play the game both ways, like Lindholm, and be good at faceoffs. You don't look for the faceoff first guy and hope that everything else is there. So Dowd for me is I don't even consider it.
I think that comes real quick. I think that comes from an oversimplification of what Thomas Noshik brought for you before he left town, because he was so damn good on the dot, just like Bergeron, but he also killed penalties. He grinded out a lot of tough minutes for you, but people look at him and went, well, he was good on the faceoff dot, so we can just get someone who's good and throw him on the fourth line. Noshik brought you a lot more than just faceoffs.
Right. Chychrun. I will tell you this. I should go dig it out, but I don't want to get up right now. Kevin can tell you all about it. I have a signed Sarnia Sting, Jacob Chychrun jersey. And if the Bruins were in on Chychrun, I will give it to somebody here watching tonight.
Nah, okay. Me and Kevin unfortunately won't be eligible. Sorry, Kevin. I'm kicking your eligibility.
I'm going to skip Hanifin. We'll come back to Hanifin and go to DeBrusk. I can assure you the teams are calling the Bruins about DeBrusk. I know for a fact, I know of at least three teams that have called and inquired about DeBrusk. And the reason they're calling is because he's a UFA. They haven't reached an agreement on a contract, and they want to know what the deal is with him. So
can't blame him for calling.
Back in September, if you recall, Jake DeBrusk come out and publicly said he wanted to stay in Boston, remain with the Bruins, that he was leaving all his contract negotiations to his agent, and he was hopeful a deal would get done. A couple weeks later in October, Don Sweeney come out and said, well, we want to know if Jake really wants to be here. Okay, yeah. So they've had 5 months to come to a deal, which tells me that they're far enough apart that the gap hasn't been closed enough for both sides to say, okay, would the Bruins bring him back? Yeah, but it has to be on their term and their price.
Yeah,
and I guarantee you one of the sticking issues is lockout protection. That's guaranteed money in 2026. With a huge signing bonus so that the player gets his money. The Bruins don't hand that out like candy. Like Brad Marchand got it. David Pasternak got it. Patrice Bergeron got it. And agents are demanding it left, right, and center. But then you look at Elias Pettersson's deal in Vancouver. Every year of his contract got major signing bonuses except one. The potential lockout in 2026. He's got zero. And I think the owners are under, the GMs are under strict orders from the owners. No lockout protection.
Yeah, it's definitely a sticking point for sure.
Let me just finish before I lose my train of thought.
Chris. Go ahead. Then we got some topics to get caught up on.
If I think that Sweeney is seriously looking at offers, he's taking into consideration other trade negotiations that are on the table, and where is he going to clear the money? And the most obvious answer is Jake DeBrusque. Now, on Hanifin, there are so many rumors out there, so many teams tied to him, and it just seems like the Bruins are tied to anybody and everybody. Would they be interested? Yeah, I guarantee they're interested, but they're not interested in Noah Hanifin as a rental. And then that opens up a whole can of worms. What are you willing to give up? And I was on this show, I think last week, was it, Chris? The week before?
You've been on the show since we rebooted.
No, but I think it was last week when I said, you know what? In 3 years, mark my words, Mason Lowry is going to be a better player than Noah Hanifin.
You've said that three times on this show. Last week I said the potential, and you corrected me vehemently, which is fine. That I think that's what you're referring to. So, yeah, and you know what? Having watched Lowry as he's gone up and gone down to Providence and come back up, and just the way he's carrying himself, the way he's learning, I there's no part of me that has any semblance to disagree with you on that.
Right. So if you're Calgary, who are you asking for?
I'm starting with either Lowry or Poitras. Those are my two starting points. And if I'm Boston, I mean, this is the part that I sit here and I laugh at. Everyone sits there and goes, Boston needs a center. Boston needs a center. They have one who's injured. So is Poitras going to be, you know, Elias Pettersson next year? No, he's not. But they don't need to go out and make a dumb move to bring in a center. A center will help them. Yes, centers who can win faceoffs are always helpful. There's no argument for me on that. But you don't have to go out and give the farm up. And like Kevin said here, Lindholm wanted like $9 million over 7 or 8 years. And I'm sorry, that's a number that I'm not willing to go to. Not for what Lindholm can do. Now, if you can get him for, you know, 7, all right, maybe it's a little more than I want right now, but if it's a 7-year deal, I can live with it because down the road, he'll be much more worth it. You've got other things to figure out at that point. You still got Zacha for a couple more years, Coyle for a couple more years, Poitras, as I just mentioned, but that's all stuff that, you know, you can rearrange deck chairs once you have them all on the ship, essentially.
Right.
James says two areas of need for me are a center who can win draws, a defender who can play hard and push guys out of the crease. I think the defenseman is where everybody keeps going back to Noah Hanifin. And then obviously, like I said, centers who can win draws are helpful. How about you do some work with the guys that you have and get them back on track with their faceoffs? Zacha and Coyle have been okay most of the year. They're slumping a little bit right now, sure, but it's not like you have guys who are at 38% and, you know, your team faceoff percentage is 40. Like, yes, it's an area of need, but again, don't make a dumb deal just because other teams are going out and flinging their picks around. Let's see. The offense is too trick or treat. They either bury teams or they struggle to score. They don't have the horses on the back end to win games 2-1 in the playoffs. If you can get another defenseman and you can get Hampus Lindholm back healthy, I think you'll be okay. I like the way Shattenkirk plays better with Wotherspoon in the lineup. I think he's a Jekyll and Hyde kind of guy. When he's playing with Forsberg, it's very different than when he's with Wotherspoon. I think Wotherspoon has earned his way into the bottom two, if you will.
Or seventh.
I mean, yeah, matchup dependent, I guess. Let's see. Kevin says he's referring to Zaka as a better winger than Coyle, which I definitely agree with there. James mentions this, and it was brought up just before we came on the air. Vegas put Alec Martinez on LTIR, and they have supposedly entered the Hanifin sweepstakes.
Correct. Incorrect. They did not put Martinez on LTIR. They put him on IR.
Okay.
Which is totally different.
I saw the IR earlier.
There's no cap relief.
I saw IR earlier, but I didn't know, based off of his comment, if maybe they changed it or if the original report was wrong. But I did see the part where Elliot Friedman has said that they've entered the Hanifin sweepstakes. So Vegas is a team that you just never know what they're going to do. Kevin says, I've been watching Lindholm in Vancouver for about 7 of his games with them, and he looks lost. A second trade in season and another new team, I wouldn't do it. Let's see. He says, I don't see it working for Boston with Lindholm. Hanifin was just traded to Vegas. So much for that. Oh, all right then. I will try and confirm Hanifin being traded to Vegas.
What's the return, Andy?
Let's see. There is a tweet from Ryan Leslie of an NHL host on Sportsnet and Hockey Night. That has been retweeted a few times. It says, I believe Noah Hanifin is headed to Vegas. And then this here, James, I was just about to pull this one up. Kevin Weeks tweeted, plenty of potential deal scenarios out there right now, but this one I heard has caught my attention. And this is the one that we were just talking about. Gensel to Vancouver, DeBrusk to Pittsburgh, and Elias Lindholm to Boston. Well, I don't think the money works.
Well, I have to see how the money breaks down. Pittsburgh's got to be retaining something there. And so does Vancouver.
If the money works and it's all one for one for one, thoughts?
I like it. And DeBrusk should do okay there. He's also, what's his name? GM in Pittsburgh.
Oh,
Kyle Dubas.
Kyle Dubas, thank you. That's not right.
Kyle Dubas type player too. So,
yeah. Right now, so Kevin Weeks just broke it, crediting Darren Dreger. Told that the Golden Knights are trading for Flames D Noah Hanifin.
Don't know the return yet, eh?
Not yet. I'm refreshing like a madman. If anybody else beats me to it, please put it in the comments. Andy says, don't know yet. Elliot Friedman put it out. And then Michael's got a good question. What do the Penguins want with DeBrusk? Well, I think you mentioned it. DeBrusk is a Kyle Dubas kind of guy. And let's be real. Playing next to Sidney Crosby.
Or Malkin.
I mean, we saw what he did last year next to Patrice Bergeron, and by no stretch am I saying Patrice Bergeron and Sidney Crosby are the same player. Sidney Crosby's better offensively. He's going to create more opportunity for DeBrusk, and DeBrusk has proven he can play on both wings. So you could have a Malkin, Crosby, DeBrusk line if you really wanted to. Let's see. Kevin says, yeah, I'm not a fan. Unless you're not giving up much for Lindholm and he's gone way down on contract demands, I'm all set. His play isn't good right now. Kevin, let me ask you this. If it is that one-for-one-for-one three-way deal and all you're losing out on is Jake DeBrusk for the rest of the season.
Which you were going to lose anyway, likely.
Regardless of extension, because the extension is its own issue. I want to know, if you get Lindholm for DeBrusk, how do you feel about it? Because that's essentially what that deal would be. That's what I want to know from you, Kevin, because let's see. Chris Johnson's now confirming Hanifin is headed to Vegas. Still no word on the return, though.
Well, Vegas has all their picks.
Yeah, and if they have a little bit of room with the cap, they don't need nearly as much retained as, say, Boston would.
Yeah, I think Vegas had $4.4 million.
And, Michael, I'm glad you brought this up. I'm going to keep looking for the return on Hanifin. He says, does the year that DiPietro is having in Providence do anything to accelerate a decision on Ullmark? Also, rumors of an extension for Swayman. So we've heard 7x7, 7x8, the 7 million number. Where do you stand on an extension for Swayman and a potential deal of Linus Ullmark?
7 million I'd be happy with, because that's what I've been pumping all season long for Swayman. A deal for Ullmark? Until Swayman is locked up, they're not trading Ullmark. They're not going to trade Ullmark tomorrow unless they know they have Swayman in their back pocket. Signature on a contract. Off-season, different story. Now, I've argued that they could keep both goalies again for next year. People say $12 million is too much. It's not. It's like 12% of the cap next year. And they have the money to be able to do it. The unfortunate part is you could lose two very good prospects in Mike DiPietro and Brandon Bussey, because they both require waivers next year. Excuse me. But I'm confident enough with both of them in Providence that I would deal Ullmark, but I wouldn't do it till the offseason when Jeremy Swayman is locked up. Now, the draft is the perfect time to do it.
If you can get Swayman locked up before trade deadline and someone blows your doors off, like a New Jersey or something, then you can maybe accelerate the timeline, but you got to have Swayman locked up. And I don't know how I feel about Swayman and Bussey or Swayman and DiPietro going into the playoffs this year. I want to see a little bit more of Swayman with a proven veteran behind him in the playoffs, just as a break glass of a case of emergency. But if you're getting a good enough return for Ullmark and you have locked up Swayman, I'm not against it, but let's see what the return is. And as Kevin said, I'm fine if it's just the one for one, but it would depend on what we're sending to Vancouver. I think in this instance, you're doing Vancouver the favor, so you wouldn't necessarily have to send them something. If they're doing you a favor of retention, you can just leave it as a one for one for one, but we'd have to look more into the money. And then he says you have teams spending more for not as good of a tandem. Yeah, absolutely. I'm not shopping Linus. I'm seeing what I can get for him. And then if I can lock up Swayman, then I'll revisit the deal. But to your point,
things have to fall in place. Like I know a lot of people are saying trade Ullmark for cap space. Space is meaningless unless you use it.
Right. Exactly.
It is. And the Bruins have $26 million next year in cap space, with a bunch of kids that are really ready to make the team full time, like Beecher, Merkulov, Patra. They're all under $1 million.
Yeah.
You know? So trading Ullmark next, even for next season, for cap space. Look, you heard me say here, Chris, in the very first show coming back, I think it was, that I said, I bet you right now, I guarantee you the Bruins will not be spending to the cap next season. So what difference does it make if I'm spending $12 million for two goaltenders? Because, you know, I have cap space to burn.
Right. Right. And Andy is saying that Hanifin is supposed to be working on a contract extension with Vegas, according to Darren Dreger, which, I mean, if I'm Hanifin, I don't know why I wouldn't want to go there and extend there, but still waiting to see what the return is. Haven't been able to find it. But let's see. Kevin says, so you really think Vancouver is going to take nothing back for Lindholm while Pittsburgh gets DeBrusk? I'm seriously asking, because that seems I don't know, Kevin.
No, Kevin, they're getting Guentzel.
Yeah, they're getting Jake Guentzel. So, and Vancouver, I agree. I think it was Ty Anderson who mentioned this, so I'm going to give him the credit for it. I agree with him where he says that getting Elias Lindholm for Vancouver was insurance for Elias Pettersson. If they weren't able to get Elias Pettersson signed, and they felt they had to move on from him, that's why they brought Elias Lindholm in. Now, Lindholm helps the lineup. Regardless, you bring in good players, you're going to be a better team as long as it can work. But now that they have the Pettersson deal done, they feel more comfortable moving on from Elias Lindholm. Yes, they're going to take a little bit of a loss. That's why I don't think Boston has to send something to them, because Jake Guentzel helps them on the wing where they need the help more. Jake Guentzel is an upgrade over Elias Lindholm on the wing. And that's where they're looking. So if you bring in Guentzel, Boston's doing you a favor by taking Lindholm off of your books. I don't know what the money looks like, but I really don't think there's a lot that you have to send back in that deal, because they're winning the deal in their eyes, getting Guentzel. They're moving on from Lindholm, and Pittsburgh is doing the deal because they're getting a winger who they're going to try to re-sign with Crosby and Malkin. And, you know, Jake DeBrusk is a guy who helps keep their window open another year or two, regardless for how long he signs there for. So, no, I don't think they would have to take very much back. Let's see. I know they would be getting Guentzel, but they still have to give Pittsburgh the asking price for him and then lose out on the bag they spend on Lindholm. Yeah, I mean, they're going to take a loss. It is what it is. Honestly, if anything, they would have to compensate Pittsburgh, because Pittsburgh's going from one pending UFA to another. Boston's just sitting here going, yeah, we'll take a contract off your hands for Elias Lindholm and help you get the deal done, but you don't have to do it. That's the thing. You're helping.
And all three are UFAs.
Currently,
all
yeah.
three of them.
Let's see. Assuming the next Mark Savard isn't out there in free agency to solve the top center issue, who could they target at the draft at center, and what might a deal look like? I mean, so much is going to change between now and then anyway. Michael, just subscribe, and every time we go live, we'll be able to have updates for you on this. Cause I mean, the draft is so far away at this point, you know, there's going to be teams that are moving up in the draft, trying to move down in the draft. I mean,
yeah, there's no Mark Savard,
but you do have a Maddie.
The thing is that centers of that caliber are locked up a lot earlier, so they don't become available. Lindholm is an exception.
Well, and that's the thing is, I would say you're talking about a piece closer to an Elias Pettersson than you are an Elias Lindholm, and we just saw what happened with Pettersson. Instant, as soon as they had to pull the trigger on a deal, they got it done. And yep. It was a little bit of grandstanding from both sides, probably on how it got done, but it got done.
We saw the same thing in Boston with Pastrnak.
Yep. Yep. As soon as it got a little shaky, someone nutted up and they just got it done.
Well, Kevin, I want McDavid.
Still trying to keep an eye out for. Right. Let's see. Yep, not seeing anything yet on the Hanifin return. Still keeping an eye out for it, though. Let's see. Is there any smoke with Shane Pinto in Ottawa?
No.
I didn't think so. I haven't heard anything like that for a while. I mean, I just don't see it. I think Ottawa's, he's a good, solid young forward that Ottawa's going to want to retain, and they have so much to worry about. Shipping him out isn't one.
Look, I'll say this about Ottawa. Their new ownership, they're going to do wonders for that team. They just need some time. What's new? He owned the Hamilton Bulldogs, knew how to build a management team, knew how to build a winning hockey team, changed the whole culture from top to bottom. And he's going to do a good job. He'll get a new arena built in downtown Ottawa. That team is going to flourish. I mean, they got some really, really good pieces there right now. So, Ottawa's not going to be a laughing stock for much longer.
No, they solid young team up there. They got a couple of things to sort out, but I have all the faith in that organization, the new ownership group to deal with it. James jumping in. Remember, Hall was awful in Buffalo and came here and was really quality player. Lindholm might be the same story. Hall was in a, he was in a situation in Buffalo. And once he got out there, and like Kevin said, Hall wasn't playing that bad. He just didn't mesh well with Buffalo. Underlying stats were great. He just wasn't finishing. But here's the thing, Kevin. Elias Lindholm could be in a similar situation where he's just not playing with the same quality of players. He's not on their top line.
He's on their third line.
Right. So he's not playing with the same quality of players that he would be if he had Pastrnak on his right side. Even Jake DeBrusk. I know DeBrusk is supposed to be going out in this deal, but, Jake DeBrusk is better than a third line winger on Vancouver right now. And that could very well be why he looks so lost, is because the players he's with just can't keep up with him. I don't know. But if it's only costing you Jake DeBrusk and some money maneuvering, whatever, I'm not against it. I want to see what it looks like. And it's a shakeup. And that's the big thing. The trend that this team needs is that they need a shakeup. So also Buffalo had a ton of injuries and Hall was almost on an island with no help there. And that's also before what's his name there took off.
Eichel.
Thompson.
Oh, yeah.
Thompson. So let's see. Just sign John Moore and Lee Stepniak and call it a day. Come on, Kevin. Where's your Nick Ritchie?
Yeah. Or Brett Ritchie.
Yeah, right. Elias Lindholm has been regressing for two seasons now. Lindholm has had time with different lines in Vancouver and good players. He just looks lost.
Different system, too. Vancouver plays a different system than Calgary is so similar to Boston in the way that they play. Vancouver is the total opposite.
Yeah, and also Calgary, when he was in Calgary and he had Tkachuk on one side and Huberdeau on the other, he looked pretty good. Not Huberdeau. Who was the third one on that line?
Oh.
Anyway. James says, where's Greg Zanin and Andre Mazaros when you need them? Elias has good numbers playing with talent. Without talent, he has wilted. Even if true, like you say here, in Boston, he would play with Pasta. He would be just fine. Kevin says, we have Nick Ritchie. His name is Justin Brazzers. Thank you, James. Gaudreau. It was Johnny Gaudreau. How could I forget that?
Yeah. Now, look at it the other way. What has Gaudreau done since he's been away from Lindholm?
Not much. Not very much. And I would make the case that to replicate that line, you could go Marchand, Lindholm, Pastrnak.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying Elias Lindholm is Patrice Bergeron, but both two-way guys. It's a thing.
If that's the deal, I'm fine with it. I'm more than fine with it. Even if he doesn't re-sign, because I don't think Jake DeBrusk was coming back to Boston next season.
I don't think
if,
so.
Not if the Bruins were intent on signing him, they've had like 5 months to sign him.
Oh, yeah. And the fact that they at one point were like, you know, we don't know if he wants to be here. Like, come on. Those three would be great. What about Zacha, Lindholm, Pasternak? Wouldn't be against it.
I actually like Marchand and Coyle together. There's some chemistry there.
They are starting to build it.
Yeah. The other question is who do you put on the right side?
I don't know, but I'm still trying to find out what the return was for Noah Hanifin. Anybody out there who's watching, if you've got it,
you're not going to get it till you're not getting it until a contract is agreed to.
Well, Elliot Friedman just sent this. There is no extension as an immediate part of this deal. We will see what comes, but nothing in the immediate announcement.
In what announcement?
The Hanifin one. So, I don't know. We're now I'm seeing more information about the Mittelstadt deal, which we are that you know for Bo and Byram, which that will I think help Buffalo down the road. Let's see. James says I like that deal though, straight up for both of them. And then Ryan Johansson goes to Philly in the Walker deal and then immediately gets released or waived. And sounds like he's going to probably clear because of the contract. Wonder if getting Lindholm, they'd move Zacha back to wing or would they move him to 2C and Coyle back to 3C? I will say I wouldn't mind a third line of JVR, Coyle, and Frederick. That then poses the question, who's your right wing on the second line if DeBrusque is gone? And I mean, there's guys they can try, but Kevin says one thing I will say though, Lindholm will look better in Boston than DeBrusque currently does. So there's that. Well, I mean, at least DeBrusque is giving you really solid penalty kill, two-way game. He's playing solid defensively, 5-on-5. Like the only thing he's not doing is scoring consistently. But yet he's scoring in Jake DeBrusque consistency, which is to say a couple points here, a couple points there, a game off, two games off, a couple more points. He's doing Jake DeBrusque things. This is what he is. Tony P says that B's system and leadership is better suited for Lindholm to regain his form. And that goes back to what you were talking about. Vancouver, Calgary, Boston. Boston and Calgary are much more similar systems versus Vancouver, which is completely different.
We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. You got shots on goal, saves, puck lines, money lines. You can bet it all. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024, all rights reserved.
This week's episode of What's Brewing is also brought to you by Nason's Naturals,
your trusted source for all natural dog treats that are guaranteed to be free of harmful chemicals, preservatives, and artificial additives, all for your favorite canine companion. Visit
www.nasonsnaturals.com. That's N-A-S-O-N-S naturals.com. And use promo code PUCKOFF from our sister show and receive 15% off your order. Again, that's nasonsnaturals.com. Promo code PUCKOFF at checkout for 15% off.
Kevin's still harping on wanting Alex Tuck.
Look at this. Petrangelo, Martinez, Theodore, Hanifin, McNabb, White Cloud, Haig.
Theodore's on LTIR, I believe.
Yeah, but that's beyond this year. What a defense, eh?
Oh, yeah. Oh, regardless. Yeah, that's still a hell of a defense right there. And I think still only one guy under 6 feet. They don't have the wings to put Coil on the third line. That's not happening. Well, really, you'd only be opening up one spot, Kevin, and that's the second right wing spot. And that's where, you know, I don't know. That's where you see if, you know, Merkulov, Lysels, you know, someone in Providence can step up unless you have another move up your sleeve where you can go and get a winger. I don't know.
No, I think if they do anything else, it's going to be on defense.
How about calling up Lysell to play with Coyle and Martian? They had some playing time together in the preseason. Naos, cough, cough, Lysell. Let's see. If DeBrusque does end up going to Pitt, Boston plays them Saturday, so lock in a hat trick for him. Fair. Of course, I always say DeBrusque does a lot, but he's inconsistent on the score sheet. Yep. And Boston needs more than that. Yep. I agree, Kevin. You're on the same page as me on that one. And then real quick, he says, Zaka going to the left wing is what makes it work with Lindholm and Coyle as your top six centers. I know you've said that Fabian Lysell will see a game or two of NHL action this year. Do you think he sees more than that? Is he someone they could be viewing as? Because we've said this was always supposed to be a bridge year. So if you make a move for a guy like Lindholm to bring him in, and that is all that you do, do you then really owe it to yourself for next season to see what you have with Fabian Lysell in the top six?
Yeah. I mean, it's worthy of a shot. Personally, to break him in, I would like to see Lysell with Lindholm.
That wouldn't be a bad idea.
Like the Swedish connection.
Not to mention that Lindholm has a little bit stronger of a defensive game than I would say even Zaka has. Maybe Coyles is a little bit stronger, but I think the offensive game that Lindholm brings is more, again, he's more in that Bergeron mold, and I think that's something that Fabian Lysell could thrive with.
Yeah. Give Pastrnak, if they're at a point where they're giving players a break, give Pastrnak a couple of games off and throw Lysell in there next to Lindholm.
Sure. Let's see. James says, not for this year, but perhaps next year. I think Kuntar could be a cheap young option for 4C. That's something that you and I have talked about. The fourth line next year could have. I mean, Brazeau's playing his way onto that fourth line for next year, too. But
yeah, it's, you know, Brazeau has looked good at times. It's just I can't get past the skating. It hasn't burnt them, the Bruins, that is, but you can see that the reason he's playing with Boqvist and Lauko is because their speed can make up for his lack of speed, and they can get back to defend so I was fine with giving him a contract and as a thank you, but I was hoping more for next season, because depending on what they do with trade deadline coming up, they've only got two contract spots open, We know NCAA free agent period is coming up in a couple weeks, and I would have liked that asset of an empty contract spot to be able to use the fact that you could sign a player and burn a year off their entry-level contract to get them in.
Yeah, I think what I say fourth line for next year for him, I think your fourth line next year is going to contain four guys. I think Kuntar, Lauko, Beecher. And Brazo are kind of the five who are fighting for it. I think Brazo could be the odd man out from that. But Boqvist also has shown that he might be able to fit on your third line as well. So there could be some shifting in there. But James points out, as far as Kuntar, he looks great in college, even though he was a UML killer. Let's see. If they bring in Lindholm without an extension, they will be trying to win. Yeah, but I think they're also going to try to extend them. Like, you can do both. It's okay.
Yeah, the Bruins were not in the rental market. They're after guys long-term, and that's the plan with Lindholm, is to sign them. They weren't in the rental market.
Just because it's a bridge year, Kevin, doesn't mean going out and getting Elias Lindholm changes that. And Peter's got a good question. What does a Lindholm extension in Boston look like? Nao says it has to be around $8 million. If it doesn't work in Vancouver, I do think Lindholm comes down a little bit on where he's willing to settle. I mean, if you can get him at $7.5 million, I would do it.
$8 million would be tops. I would go.
I wouldn't go higher than $8 million. I'm hesitant at $8 million, but I'm not saying no. I'm really looking at some of the other decisions that I have to see if I can free up an extra $500,000 somewhere else, but I'm not shoving it out the door. So, Kevin talking about Brazo, he's slow. Nails, I'm not going to $9 million on Lindholm. Not at all. That's too steep. Let's see. Very slow. So is JVR. He could learn a lot from him. James says, Dreger just tweeted, deal's not finalized, but expect retention by Calgary, but trade is not completed fully yet. I'm guessing that's the Hanifin deal.
Yeah, they're going to have to retain about $400K.
I read something wants Gensel traded today. Is that accurate, or do I imagine it, which it happens at my age? I haven't heard that, but that's not to say that it's not been said. Have you heard anything about urgency in getting a Gensel trade done today?
No, I haven't.
Let's see. Do they have to pay to move Grizz, or do you think they could get something for him? Right now, I'm not moving a defenseman unless I'm bringing in a defenseman, if that makes
right.
sense.
Right.
Right now, Grizz, Wotherspoon, Forbort, they are your depth defensemen.
Yeah, you have to bring somebody in, Kevin, that can replace those three on in your top four, really, and then move one to make the money work. But I don't know that defenseman's out there.
Yeah, not especially not anymore now that Hanifin's off the market. Let's see, get Lindholm and then a D-man with Snarl, then Bergeron will rethink his retirement plans for the spring. I'm not sure much is going to move the needle on that one. He seems pretty content with all the interviews I've seen from him. So, will the Bruins trade any D? Seems like Donnie likes lots of D depth for the playoffs. Peter, that's exactly my point. You're thin on D. You are, what, one more injury away from having Jacobs Borrell be your seventh defenseman? Like, yeah, I would want more depth for the playoffs and my D lineup as well. Remember, when McAvoy came up, he was, what, 12th in the bag when he came up? He was the 12th guy on the list?
Yeah, they used 12 defensemen.
So that's an entire top six plus another entire top six. So having depth is not a bad thing on the blue line for the playoffs. People get hurt. It allows you, there's no cap in the playoffs either. So it allows you to rotate guys in. Kevin says, of course they will be trying to extend him. I didn't say that, but without the insurance of it being done, they will try to win. They're going to try to win regardless. It's not like they're giving up just by calling it a bridge year, Kevin. You can do two things at once. It's not impossible. You can walk and chew food at the same time.
I can't.
The Bruins can rebuild and have a bridge year while still trying to win. It's possible.
Yep.
Vegas also has to clear a roster spot for Hanifin. I think LTIR is going to help them with that. Just because it would open up.
Well, no, they don't, because the injured, the Martinez on IR opens up a roster spot. It just does nothing to save them cap space.
Yeah,
Once he's healthy, it doesn't matter, because there is no roster limit after Friday. You can have 40 players on the roster. As long as you're under the cap, there is no roster limit. So they're fine.
Kevin says, yeah, but money has to go out, so I'd expect them to use the money from Grizz to replace him.
Well, that's exactly what he said, Kevin, is you're not moving a defenseman unless you're bringing another defenseman in.
Right. And there, I mean, just to throw a name out there, Colton Parayko, for instance. I know he's got a no movement, but just as an example, I want to say he's at 6'5 AAV.
Six so something.
I think he's got the same deal as one of the other guys on the team. I don't remember. But, you know, St. Louis has been interested in a guy like Trent Frederick. So right there, there's $2 million AAV going out the door. You throw in a Grizzlick and a prospect to make them want Grizzlick. Now the money is much, much closer. Obviously, you have to figure out what's going on with this whole Lindholm, Gensel, Pittsburgh, Vancouver thing, but it's not impossible. And yes, I would say Colton Parayko is an upgrade over Matt Grizzlick. So in that case, you want to make the money work because you are upgrading from what you have. Also, he's locked in. Let's see. James says a hockey trade involving Grizz with another expiring D contract that they think can re-sign is my guess of what would be next. I just don't know who's out there on an expiring deal that's willing to trade for another expiring deal.
That's James, that's not a hockey trade. That's just right. Swapping UFAs.
Right.
That's... Hockey trades are where you would trade a guy that's got like 5 years or 2 years or something left on a deal for a guy that's got the same term. UFAs are just throwing around bodies. They're not really hockey trades.
Right.
But I understand what you're saying. And as we've alluded to, I'm more than fine with moving Matt Grizzlick, but I'm not moving him unless I'm getting an upgrade somewhere. Would I ship him off in a separate deal to create the cap space? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But I have to know there's a guy coming in.
Kevin says, I guess I'm saying the urgency would be greater. I'm not forming my thoughts correctly. I get where you're going with it, Kevin. I do. I understand what you're saying. But at the same time, like I said, you can do both. You can bring in Elias Lindholm to try to be better this year. You send Jake DeBrusque out as a way of making it get done. Jake DeBrusque, a piece that you were going to lose anyway. You then try to re-sign Elias Lindholm for your betterment of your future. You are still trying to win now. Even if you plug in Fabian Liesel, you don't plug him in unless you think he can actually improve what you were getting from with Jake DeBrusque. Now, the issue I have with that is all the other things that Jake DeBrusque would do for you, defensively, 5-on-5, penalty kill, hard minutes like that. That's where I sit there and I go, are you just going to dump those minutes on Elias Lindholm now and just kind of say between the two, we've created Jake DeBrusque in the aggregate, but as a center and as a scoring winger, and hope that Liesel can bring some more offense? I don't like doing that, but at the same time, to your point, throw him in the fire, see what happens, and you're getting experience for next year. Are they not trying to win with that? I mean, I see why you would say that, but you don't make that move unless you have any sense of confidence in Liesel. If you're not sure he can do it, you're trying to fill the winger spot too. Let's see. James says Bruins would have a monopoly on Lindholms. They had Parr, Hampus, and now potentially Elias. Any other potential Lindholms out there in the hockey world?
Well, they should bring Parr back. Like, there's a guy who could kill penalties.
Yeah, there
just,
we go.
Just to go back, your comments to Kevin there, Chris. Let's not forget that they got Morgan Geekie that can move to the right.
Yep.
As well. And have,
I don't know if I'd put him in the top six on the right side though.
No, but I'm saying, you know, if you have to fill a right spot, you've got Geeky, because you could go Lindholm, Coyle, Frederick down the middle. So it's not like the Bruins are short of bodies. They have bodies that can play multiple positions. It's like I said at the very beginning of the show, it's about mixing and matching guys and finding chemistry. That's why I'm not into playing the, well, what are the lines going to look like? Well, it all depends. Well, I want to see what the players look like first.
And to your point, they have two other wingers, JVR, who could play the top right wing spot, and Trent Frederick, who's found a scoring touch. And you could try him out there.
Right.
There's a lot of things you could do, even without calling up Fabian Liesel.
Exactly. So, you know, it's not – they haven't created a hole on the right side by moving to Brusque and bringing back Lindholm. And let's not forget,
you may have downgraded.
What's that?
I said you may have downgraded on the right side a little bit, but there's still plenty of options.
Well, no, because even Lindholm can play the right side.
Yep. And another thing is you could kick JVR over to that right wing spot, move Boqvist to the left wing on the third line, and bring John Beecher back up.
Yeah, they haven't created a hole here. Everybody thinks that they've created a hole, but they haven't, because they have multiple guys that can go in and play that position. Will they give you what Jake DeBrusk has? I don't know. Frederick has scored more goals than DeBrusk has, hasn't he?
And Geeky's having a career.
And Geeky has.
So... Kevin says this is true. Geeky can move over. I think he would play well in the top six. Kid's got speed and a good shot. Absolutely. He also wants to know, is that a new hat? It is looking snazzy.
That's my Bruins golf hat. I'm getting ready for golf season.
And we have another.
I was going to wear the sunglasses too, but I was afraid you'd screenshot it, Kevin.
Let's take a look. Now the nice, easy question from Peter. Will the Bruins trade a goalie at the deadline?
We've covered that.
No. I don't think so. I think there's a lot of moving pieces. I don't think a goaltender is one of them at the moment.
Unless they get Jeremy Swayman locked up tomorrow.
Right. Let's see. Zacha, Lindholm, Pasta, Marshy, Coyle, Geeky, JVR, Freddie, Heinen. That's a solid top nine. That's the other thing. Is in all the names that I've mentioned, I have not even mentioned Danton Heinen.
No, and I think if the deal that is talked about is a done deal, I'm fine with it. Where he has to go next, Don Sweeney, that is the blue line. That's what's got to be fixed.
James says Monty would be in heaven with all of the potential line shuffling he could do.
You know what? We should all chip in a couple of bucks and send him a blunder.
Yeah, no kidding. He's really enjoyed. Do you think that is helped, hindered, or been a net neutral as far as him shuffling the lines so much, trying to get them out? In my opinion, he's just trying to get them out of their funk.
I think you go all season long, he's been doing it. And you've heard me talk about, even going back a year, to last season, that Jake DeBrusk is at his best when he has some sort of, I don't know how, what to call it. What's the word I'm looking for? Some sort of consistency in his life to be at his best.
Security.
Last year he had a contract that went into this season. He was great. There was no COVID. You know, he wasn't kept away from family, blah, blah, blah. He sucked. This year he's going into a contract year. He sucks. And it's not so much year to year. It's also game to game, being with the same players on a consistent, regular basis. And I think that's what Jake DeBrusk needs. And a lot of times this season, he hasn't gotten it. Geeky, on the other hand, moving around has really brought his game to a different level than we saw in Seattle because he was being trusted more by his coaching to be able to move up, you know, sometimes, you know, getting third line as opposed to fourth line in Seattle, sometimes getting second line, sometimes skating on the top line. So, yeah, it's worked.
Yeah, he felt nice on the first line.
It's worked for some players, and for other players, it's been a detriment to them, i.e. Jake DeBrusk.
I'm just trying to see if I can get any more information on the Hanifin return.
The best way to get information, Chris, is follow Cap Friendly or Puckpedia and set notifications. So whenever they tweet it out, you just go to your notifications and it'll be right there.
Oh, I know. I already do that. I'm just trying to see if there's anything else out there. Let's see. Kevin says we should get Monty a ninja. Let's see.
A ninja
blender.
Let's see.
Oh, I think it's pronounced the joke 13. He says, just don't give Heinen any more looks at an empty net. That is a cheap shot from last night because Ryan Nugent Hopkins made a hell of a desperation play
to prevent
that. And the ironic thing is if you have a right shot, right wing, that doesn't get blocked. That's the thing. So don't hate on Heinen for being a lefty, playing on the off wing, playing for pennies, and having Ryan Nugent Hopkins come in and knock that out. Like, no, that's unfair to Heinen. Sorry. Let's see. Peter says, I'm convinced Monty just throws at a dartboard every game. There's probably one in the locker room, I'm sure. That was a good defensive play. Thank you, Kevin, for calling him out on it in the comments. But it just, Heinen was so close to it. I want Heinen in the lineup for the playoffs. Too valuable not to be. Which is kind of funny that you say that, Kevin, because all the things that people don't like about Jake DeBrusk, as far as his ability to put the puck in the back of the net, they can all be said about Danton Heinen. The difference is Danton Heinen makes league minimum and Jake DeBrusk is making over $4 million. So I don't know what to tell you.
Okay, I have to say this. Last year, when the Toronto Maple Leafs drafted Easton Cowan in the first round, which by the way was with the Bruins pick, was it not?
Whose pick was it? Sure.
Yeah, the Bruins traded it to Washington. Washington traded it to Toronto.
I think so.
Yeah, and they drafted Easton Cowan, and I laughed, and I said, what the fuck are they doing? Like, okay, I can see this guy late second, but not in the first. Just recorded a point for his 30-game point streak. Ouch.
Wow. Oh, man. Let's see. Still not seeing anything there. Padaway says Jake needs to get married. Okay. Let's see. Isn't Pasta the only right shot, right wing on the main roster? I mean, that would be debatable. I mean, Geeky could certainly consider that. He's right shot, if I remember correctly.
Yes, Coyle. He is.
Coyle, I think, is better at center, but he can play right wing.
What's Boquist? Right shot?
I believe Boquist is a right shot. He can play all four. And I think Lauko's left-handed. Yeah. Is Brazil righty or lefty?
Brazil's a righty.
So then there's another one. Heinen isn't a top 15 pick with the same skill set as DeBrusque. So what? Once you've played over 100 games in the National Hockey League, being a top 15 pick, 15, 32, 97, it doesn't matter. It's about staying there, and they both have. And yes, some people stay there stronger than others. Connor McDavid, Jack Eichel, Connor Bedard. Sure. That's why they went first overall, second overall. If Jake DeBrusque was that good, he wouldn't have gone at 15.
Jake DeBrusque wasn't a top 15 pick either.
Wasn't he 16th?
Well, that's where he was picked, but he wasn't a top 15 pick.
I was going to say, but also he wasn't at 14, 15, 16 that they had, and he was a 16th? Something like that. We don't have to keep revisiting that draft. Come on, Kevin. Let's see. Yeah, Washington flipped the pick to Toronto for Sandin. Anybody see when RNH caught Robert Thomas from behind on a shorty breakaway last week? I think he specializes in amazing back checking.
Yeah, I saw it.
It's a very underrated part of his game. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And Shaz says Boquist is a lefty.
Okay.
Let's see. Just still trying to refresh to see if there's anything new out there. There's not much difference in talent and production between Heinen and DeBrusque. That's my point. And right now you can use Heinen at his cap hit versus DeBrusque at his. Let's see. You're the one who asked why people didn't have that smoke for Heinen, and I told you why. That's the answer. DeBrusque is a better player who shouldn't be playing on par with Heinen. Well, what's the phrase? You are what the numbers say you are. Well, the numbers say Jake DeBrusque and Danton Heinen are very similar. So,
yeah, it's what have you done for me lately? Like you can compare careers, but what are they today?
And not to mention, you can say that DeBrusque is a better player who shouldn't be playing on par with Heinen, or you can say Heinen is better playing better than he should be and is playing at the level of Jake DeBrusque. You can move whichever lever you want. The point is right now they're dead even.
And for $3.2 million less.
Exactly. So if you ship out Jake DeBrusque, bring in Hampus Lindholm, and then you go, here's Danton Heinen to play in the DeBrusque spot, you really haven't lost much other than $3.2 million in cap space that you've gained. Yes.
And a little bit of speed.
And a little bit of speed. And, oh, by the way, center depth.
And you probably lost a shootout option, which doesn't exist in the playoffs anyway. Oh, did we lose Kevin? No.
I don't know what just happened.
I don't know.
And I don't know why our background changed, but Sticks in the Six is another show here on THPN. So I'll have to check them out. But that was weird. I just got kicked out. I'm back. I'm glad people stuck around. We will get our background back here. And let me just see what comments I've missed. Was I kicked out for very long?
No, just a few seconds.
Okay. Let's see what we've got.
I just want to tell everybody, I told Chris before we came on that when I'm at work, sometimes I like to sing. And one of my buddies at work today heard me singing. I said, I'm a good singer, right, Dave? And he said, yeah, it's your practicing that sucks. So my singing got insulted.
I've never had a complaint. So let's see. Peter says Jake shows up to play about once every five games. But when he does, he gets like two goals and an assist.
Or a goal and an assist.
Yeah, or a goal and assist. Or
he doesn't have to do 30 push-ups.
Yeah. Mike, I was not put on LTIR, just regular IR. It was day-to-day. It looked like it was going to be day-to-day for a minute. But it is approaching the 8 o'clock hour here, and it always takes us 20 minutes to end the show. So I'm going to start that part now.
Well, I'm going to start it now. Let me go first.
I will let you go first.
Okay. Don't expect Don Sweeney to do something tomorrow because they're traveling. No, they're not traveling. They're at home to Toronto. It's a game day. And probably doesn't have the money to be making call-ups in case something gets done. But on Friday, on actual trade deadline day, I think he will make a move for a defenseman.
That would be, if I'm a betting guy, that's what I would look at, is the defensive square. Just to, you know, forward, goaltending, I would put my chips on defense. Let's see. Kevin says, I expect Don Sweeney to make 16 trades in the next 5 minutes. No.
Now, I expect them to make another call to Minnesota about Middleton and see if they can get something done Friday. Maybe they'll talk tomorrow, but I don't expect a deal to be done by Friday.
Yeah, and I...
Or until Friday.
Don Sweeney always moves in silence when it comes to his deals. So I'm not surprised that every name that we've seen out there hasn't come to fruition just yet. He always moves in silence. Last year, it was about 20 minutes when we saw Dmitry Orlov and Garnet Hathaway. And then all of a sudden, 20 minutes later, they were Boston Bruins. And everybody turned around and said, what the hell just happened? You know, we were thinking, you know, Gavrikov and all this other stuff. And that didn't happen either. So,
but no, the deal with Gavrikov was done.
Yes.
It basically came down to Don Sweeney saying, I will get back to you. And then went behind Yarmo's back and made the deal for Orlov and said, screw you to CBJ. But yeah, then, Yarmo had every right to be upset at Don Sweeney. It's Jerome McGinley that came around and bit them back, you know. I always say karma will get you. It happened to the Bruins, and the Bruins did it to somebody else.
Sure. Sure. Let's see. John wants to know Grizz or Forbort, any teams interested to make room for other D, hopefully a tougher one. Are you hearing anybody calling on these guys, or is it more so they're going to have to try and package something to get one of them in a deal to try to make something happen? And I do agree with Kevin. I would take Middleton as part of a deal.
I will say this. Toronto has called everybody about defensemen. The Maple Leafs.
They need
it. Whether the Bruins would make a trade with Toronto and whether Toronto would accept a Lindholm or a Forbert, that's out of my pay category. I don't know. I don't know anybody who works for the Leafs that could tell me.
We can try to reach out to heavy insider Steve Dangle.
Toronto has called everybody about defensemen.
they need help on D. It is what it is. And to your point, I don't know if they would actually do something with the Boston Bruins, but at the same time, you can't rule it all out. To me, that would be more of a summer deal, though. Peter, kind of going over the predictions of the trade deadline. Like I said, I think Sweeney will move in silence. He'll get something done. I'd be interested to see where this whole Gensel and DeBrusque and Lindholm thing goes. But let's see. James is also saying Friedman said a potential third team might be involved to retain more on Hanifin. I wouldn't be surprised. Vegas is aggressive enough to do that.
And Vegas has all their picks for the next 3 years.
And we know how much they love drafting players and trading them, so they might as well just trade them as picks. So, but no, I think Sweeney will do something. I think it will be more underwhelming than people want it to be, but filtering around the edges, that's all. More compliments. It's got to be the hat. It's got to be the hat.
I'll wear the sunglasses next time for you, Kevin.
I will say, too, you and I were talking about this as we were rounding it out last week. I think recording the show live is a lot of fun. I love getting all the comments from everybody. We've had an awesome turnout, so thanks to everybody who's been tuning in. Again, like I said, we're brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. DraftKings is our main sponsor, but we also here at What's Brewing have a partnership with a company called Nason's Naturals. You can use our sister show Puck Off promo code Puck Off at checkout, nasonsnaturals.com. Homemade treats for your dogs. And around here locally, they've been getting amazing reviews. So he does do shipping. I think it's a flat cost. So nasonsnaturals.com, 15% off with the promo code Puck Off. So give him a check. Just check it out. And I think, just based off of the Bruins schedule, Wednesday next week will probably be the day that we target to record again and do the show live. Hopefully we see you all again next week. We'll have a lot more to go over as far as a couple more games, trade deadline, hopefully some acquisitions. Let's see. Kevin says, Dom, got to put that dress on to really shine.
Oh, my God.
Let's see. Oh, and I wanted the Bruins to take Stankoven, and they didn't, and he looks great.
He does, doesn't he?
Oh, man. That is a nice acquisition for Dallas that cost them nothing other than a draft pick. Let's see. Michael, do you have anything for the Cats? I don't believe so just yet because they are still a startup. They're still very young, but definitely a great partnership that we have with them.
They probably do.
And I know the owner has dogs, so that's where the idea came from, but lots of love for the, for your furry friends. So, and I know they've got swag too, so check them out. And, again, that's nasonsnaturals.com and 15% off with promo code PUCKOFF. It'll be in the podcast description as well. Let's see, Kevin, if Lysell didn't fall to 21, I think they would have taken Stankoven. What do you think?
I don't know. I got.
He does have a point. He thinks Stankoven fell to the second round because of his size.
Yeah. I got something in the works, Kevin. It's not, unfortunately for me to do all the research on it and everything. It's going to take me a couple of months. But I hope to have it done before the entry draft in June. And that is breaking down the Boston Bruins draft history under Don Sweeney. Ooh, not just like Sweeney, the scouts that he had in the positions. And I think it's remarkable you'll find how, as he's progressed and changed the scouting department, that the Bruins have gotten a lot better over the years. So, yeah,
Kevin, I agree that that's something I'm going to be looking forward to because we talked about it last week about how we went in more on the 15 draft and just kind of how immediately after that draft, he started redoing the scouting department. And Dom talked at length about how it's turned over and how it's completely different from when he first took the office. And their drafting has gotten significantly better over the course of time. Now, he's not drafted as bad as people make it out to be, but they're still doing better now than they did 9 years ago. That's all you can ask for from your general manager. Improvement.
Yeah. And put it this way, under Don Sweeney, they have two scouts in Russia now. The Bruins haven't had a scout in Russia ever.
So when do they draft a Russian again?
I don't know. I don't know. We'll see.
So we are approaching the 8 o'clock hour. So like I said, we always take a little bit of time to wrap it up. But Dom, do you have any final thoughts for our viewers other than see you next week?
No, I'm waiting for Friday and see what else Don Sweeney does, because I think there's another move coming. If one of the gambling sites had bets on it, I'd probably actually go lay some money on it. What it is, I don't know. I think there's another move coming Friday.
Well, I agree. I think there's a move coming by Friday, and we got another game against Toronto, who we've been just playing really well against. So enjoy the game tomorrow, because I think it will be a good one for Boston. And Kevin says that the glasses are a must for next time. So we'll at least start the show with a fashion show from Dom.
All right. I'll have to get a new hat.
Maybe I'll try and dig a hat out too. I don't know. The earphones make it tough to wear one, but I'll try and break something out. So I want to thank everyone for tuning in though. It's been a hell of a turnout. Thank you all the comments and everything. We are going to wrap it up here at the 8 o'clock hour. It's been awesome. I love recording these pods live, Apple Podcast, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, everywhere that you can find a podcast. Ours will be available. The show will be available tomorrow. And thanks again, everybody, for tuning in. We'll target next Wednesday, same time, same place. We do have the What's Brewing YouTube channel, so you can just go there and click the notification button for when we do go live, or on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. You can just follow myself at CNozick6342, Dom at Dominic Tiano, the show at What's Brewing 6342. We send out the links for every show. So again, thank you all for jumping in. Kevin has his prediction, Lindholm and Makar and Tuck and Domi, and Dom becomes the new assistant coach. Well,
no, I'd be better as assistant GM or their cap guru.
I was going to say, can we hire you as lead analyst?
Or no, I think Brick does a good job in that. Billy Jaffe does a great job. Really loving Razor.
Oh,
by the way, Andrew Raycroft, I'm with him 100% when he says, I can't wait to see how the goaltending rotation works in the playoffs, because it's never been done before.
Not the way this team can pull it off. And I'm looking forward to it. I want to see it as well. Let's see. Kevin says, and Jaffe hits up Dom for information between now and Friday. Of course he does.
How do you know?
Hey, why not? Kevin said it, so it's got to be true. Isn't that the rule of thumb? Once Kevin says it, it's true.
Well, it is true. I just want to know how he knows. Billy's a great guy. Sometimes he'll be they'll be on a commercial break. I shouldn't say sometimes, once in a blue moon. And he'll shoot me a message and it's like, hey, Dom, quickly, how does this work on the cap? And I'll send him the answer. So
nice. Let's see. James real quick says Vegas D-man Danil Muramanov. Going to butcher that, but he's part of the Hanifin deal, which, I mean, I don't know much about him. I don't know if you do off the top of your head, Dom, but I mean, he's a prospect. Hanifin is an NHL defenseman. So it's still going to be a win for them. I can't imagine that Hanifin came cheap, but we'll see what the return looks like. And we'll talk about that some more next week and see how the Bees look between now and then. So anything else other than go Bees?
Go Bees.